Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Very good. We're on that Bible-thon story.
Are you from Wisconsin?
I'm for Wisconsin.
They won last night.
Yeah. You're from Iowa. You're from Iowa.
Yeah, but they're in the Big Ten. I'm a Big Ten guy.
Yeah, well, March Madness, ladies and gentlemen. Today, people have been coming in and they're kind of dragging their tails. The first few people, I said, we're going to get another 4 to 7 inches. Let me tell you, you are strong enough, you are good enough, you can handle anything this world comes to you, okay? You are strong enough, God is on your side. You are going to be tougher and better and more intelligent and all the rest because you have handled this winter, all right? Yeah. Hey, can I hear an amen? They said I'd never get an amen out of this congregation. We've had a long winter, and some of us gather with heavy hearts. Some of us have really gone through. I mean, winter, the winter of discontent, said our friend Bill Shakespeare. You know what a winter of discontent is, but we are strong. Today's lesson has to do with Jesus healing the blind man from birth. And sometimes we are blind, even though we can see through eyes, but we're blind in our hearts and in our spirits because we don't see or experience God at work. And so when we sing in one of our great hymns, I once was blind, but now I see. They're not talking about eyes. They're talking about the condition of our hearts and our spirits. And let this not be the winter of your discontent, okay? Let this be a winter where we beat it and we celebrated it and we lived through it and we walked with the fellowship of God through it, and the fellowship of each other. I've been getting postcards back from some of the folks I sent postcards to or spent the last 2 or 3 or 4 months down south. Someone wrote to the council and said, Pastor, please let the pastor come down and visit the parishioners for a month or 6 weeks this winter. And I lobbied hard for that. But somehow they were blind and cannot see. Anyway, they're going to be coming back, and they're not going to nearly have the character that you and I have because we've made it through, all right? We've got a strong, strong spirit in this place. Two announcements. One is our first choir practice is going to be next Saturday morning at 9:30. So spread the word next Saturday morning at 9:30, all right? Anybody who's in the choir? Second is usually we've had a bunch of folks serve some kind of Easter breakfast. No one signed up, so if we get people to sign up even just to serve some kind of bread or buns or coffee, we should have something on Easter in between. I'll be glad to pay for it, all right? So don't worry about it, but I can't be there to make it, so. Some of us have to work, Joyce. But if you could sign up, that'd be good. I think it's important for us to have some fellowship on Easter morning. Last, our flowers. We got one flower base. Today we're going to sign up for Easter lilies. So if you'd like to honor someone, memorialize someone, thank God for someone in your life, or just... Oh, if you'd like to do that today, there's a sign-up sheet for flowers, Easter lilies. And last but not least, as my secretary just waved this three-question thing in my nose, the vision, what do they call that, Craig?
Strategic
Planning Committee wants your ideas and wants your thoughts and wants your feelings, and we're putting a plan together for the future. So fill those out. There's a basket in the back. If you I forget, put it in the offering plate. If you start nodding off during the sermon, fill out those sheets, whatever. But they'd like your feedback on that, so please fill that out. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your house on a beautiful Sunday morning. And as your sun shines outside, we pray that your sun might shine in our hearts and your spirit might live in us and might awaken us and might see the wonders of your creation and experience the wonders of the day. Some of us gather with heavy hearts and working through difficult situations, and we wonder why things happen. We pray that the eyes of our hearts and spirits might open and be reminded of your love for us, and that we are always in your care, and you want the best for us all at all times. And so today, as we sing these beautiful hymns and say our prayers and hear your word, we pray your spirit might stir us to lift us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn this morning is "Here I Am, Lord," 574. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
Come, let us acknowledge our sin and seek God's face that we may live. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Holy God, we confess that we have turned away from you and from our neighbors and in toward ourselves. We have sought security in possessions and the place of power in relationships. We have trusted ourselves most of all. Turn us back to you, O God. In your mercy, forgive our sinfulness and cleanse us from guilt and shame. Guide us on the path of freedom that is your gift to us in Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear for yourselves. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the waters of baptism, grace abounds for you and for all. God turns to you in love and puts away every sin, every wrong turn, for the sake of Jesus, the one God sent to save the world. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Because we now live in the divine light that is Jesus Christ, we conduct our lives in ways that reflect the light of Christ, so that our activity is truly pleasing to God. For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light are found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Our psalm today is Psalm 23. When you see the bold R in the text, please say the refrain, you anoint my head with oil. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall meet me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You anoint my head with oil. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday in Lent is found in the fourth chapter of St. John. Jesus heals a man born blind, provoking a hostile reaction that he regards as spiritual blindness to the things of God. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud in the saliva. spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how it was that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, though, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "There is a Balm in Gilead," 614.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of speculation on the internet on the origin of the time-honored toast. Here's mud in your eye. Some of you have probably said that once or twice in your life. If you Google the sentence, Jim, you'll find out that there's all kinds of descriptions about when this saying originated. The phrase was being bandied around, first of all, in World War I, when there was mud everywhere in the food and the drinks and the foxholes. Then it was, this phrase was found to be said in the U.S. saloons way back as early as 1890s. It was also popular in the English fox hunting crowd before that time. And then others counted it, contend that it comes from the world of horse racing, where the winning horse would kick up the mud into the eyes of the horses in back and the jockeys in back. Farmers would also hoist a glass on the success of a good harvest. Here's mud in your eye. Then there are those who say the origin of this phrase is biblical. It refers to our lesson from today, from John's Gospel. Say it come from this unusual story in which Jesus spits in the dirt, made some mud, rubs it on the eyes of this man born blind, and tells this guy to go down and wash it off in the pool of Siloam. We don't know where the phrase really comes from originally, but it's an amazing coincidence if it has no connection with our lesson today. Let me refresh your memories about this old, old story. One day Jesus comes upon a man who's born from birth is blind. So I figure he's probably early 30s, mid-30s, huh? Like that. Not unusual. There are all kinds of persons in various handicapping conditions begging for help along the roadsides, and often they would put themselves in front of synagogues at the time, hoping that people were in benevolent moods when they'd go and come from and put a coin in their begging box. What else could they do? I mean, their employment opportunities were few, no matter how capable they might have been otherwise. In fact, in this country, I just read where 80% of the people that are blind are on some kind of assistance. And congratulations to us that we take care of people who need help. But in Jesus' day, in a society there, that's basically third world society, there was no assistance for the disabled. The society in which Jesus lived, you had to beg for whatever you could get or die. So Jesus comes upon this blind man, and his disciples ask him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That's the most natural question in the world when you're confronted with a bad situation, isn't it? Why did it happen? Why does this stuff happen? And we do it all the time. We hear about something bad happening to someone, and we're more interested in the details of who, where, when, why did this happen, than about how we can help. And so it was with the disciples. Who sinned? This man was born blind, or his parents? Question reveals that they were pretty much dreadfully out of touch with Jesus, because Jesus didn't even think of that question. He says, "What he's thinking, I'm sure, what can I do to help?" The disciples, they're thinking, "Who can we blame? Who can we blame for the situation?" Jesus says, "What can I do to help?" We come upon a person with severe disabilities, and it disturbs us. We feel a deep sense of compassion for them, sure, but instinctively we wonder, why must people suffer this way? So I asked myself when I read this, where does suffering come from? Why does suffering happen? And that's something I've talked with about many, many times before. We talk about it a lot in this congregation because we care for each other so much. It's an important question, but it causes people to, sometimes it causes people to stumble in their relationship to Christ. Most suffering results from something that is on the whole very good. And I'm talking about the laws of nature, the laws of the universe. This world operates according to certain laws. And one of those laws is the law of probability. If I were to toss a coin in the air right now, you'd holler heads. The odds of it being heads would be 50%, right? That's a wonderful law of probability. This year, in the United States, the law of probability says 10,000 people will be slaughtered senselessly on the highways by drunken drivers. That's what the experts say. What are the odds it's going to happen to you or to someone you love? Law of probability will tell you the chances of that happening. But then when it happens, we ask, why does this happen to me? And we answer that according to the law, that you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's why it happened to you. It happened to 9,999 other people this year as well, just as the laws of probability would tell us. Kind of a bad way of looking at it. There's not much sensitivity in looking at it that way, but probability, the laws that have been set up, tell us that that's what happens in our lives. So Jesus himself seems to subscribe to understanding life this way, because in last week's lesson he said, God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, causes it to rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. It happens to everybody. That's the laws of nature. The good guy gets raindrops on his head just like the bad guy. We live in a world of law. Laws govern that the sun will rise in the morning. Laws keep our hearts beating through the night. We reach for a switch and the light goes on through the laws that have been set up through electricity. The lawful universe basically is God's gift to us, that things work a certain way and we understand things work that way, and it's good. Now suppose there's nature's laws that were suspended one day, and we walk out of here, and all of our cars are floating away. The laws of nature wouldn't work. The law of gravity wouldn't work. Or you go into the kitchen for a cup of coffee, but there's no water because the laws won't pump the water through the pipes. There's no law that says it. There's no law that says it won't work. If the laws were suspended, then we wouldn't know it would come. But can you imagine a world in which there was no established order, that we didn't know what was going on? Of course not. The result would be complete chaos. God brought order to chaos when he created the world. The theological discussion about this is called creatio ex nihilo. Out of nothing, something came, and the laws of nature that God put into play work. We live in a lawful world, and it's good. Another word for lawful is predictable. Life is generally predictable. The world continues to turn on its axis. The sun will rise tomorrow just like it did today. The water will flow in the pipes unless it's clogged up. Our bodies continue to function. It's a miraculous thing that our bodies work as well as they do. By knowing and living in harmony with the laws of nature, humanity lives successfully upon the earth. Unfortunately, we are also sometimes victims of this lawfulness of this world. If I step in front of a moving car, I know I'm going to be hit. If I become exposed to a certain bacteria, if I smoke too many cigarettes, I may become a statistic. By knowing and living in harmony with the laws of nature, humanity lives successfully upon the earth, generally. Unfortunately, we were also sometimes victims of lawlessness in the world. God didn't directly cause my suffering. He doesn't directly cause our suffering. He doesn't have a hand in squeezing us down. It occurs simply because we come in conflict with certain laws that are ongoing in the world. We don't know why this particular man was born blind. Maybe there was a defective gene. Maybe his mother contracted a disease when he was in the womb. All we know, all we can be sure of, that it wasn't anyone's sin that causes stuff to happen to this man, and it doesn't cause stuff to happen to us. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus wasn't interested in how the man became blind. That wasn't his concern. Even if he had been the direct, it had been the direct result of some sin, it wouldn't have mattered. Jesus, or John tells us clearly, the Master didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be made whole through him. However, here was an opportunity to show forth the majesty of God by bringing light to a man who had been born blind. That was all that mattered to Jesus. So do you see the difference between Jesus and the disciples? A man comes up to the window of our car up in Brainerd or down the cities begging, looking for a handout. Immediately we think about judgment on him. Is this man going to spend it on alcohol or drugs, or is this guy just raising money to, you know, instead of working? We're more concerned about the why rather than what we can do to help. It's human. That doesn't mean it's Christian, but it's human. And some of our half-baked explanation of why stuff happens can be really hurtful when you play it out. It's amazing to me how many people say they believe in the Bible. I have no idea what it says. I mean, even just remembering, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He causes the rain to come down on the righteous and the unrighteous. Of course, there's suffering that's the result of sin. We all know that. If I'm drunk behind the wheel of the car and take somebody's life, yes, this suffering is caused by sin, my sin. But it's my sin and not theirs. If I injure myself in an accident, then it's also suffering because of sin. But even that's covered by God's grace. Point is, God doesn't want anyone to suffer. He doesn't want anyone to suffer. He wants what's best for all of his children. He wants what's good for all of his children. But there's laws of nature. So Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud and saliva, puts it on the man's eyes, says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I wonder if he did say, here's mud in your eye. But the man goes, washes, and he can see. And that's the story today. Except the story continues. Now the Pharisees are in a tizzy because they see this Jesus, this itinerant preacher who people are starting to follow. You see, Jesus getting the following. He's healing people. He's got power that no one else has. And then this is the Sabbath day. Couldn't Jesus do this on some other day, on Tuesday or Wednesday, instead of waiting till the Sabbath day? His testimony short, and they asked the guy who's blind. His testimony short and direct. He put mud on my eyes. And I washed, and now I see. Of course, some of the Pharisees say, this man isn't from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath day rules. But the others say, well, how can a sinner perform such healings like this? He's got to be from God. So then they ask the blind man, what do you have to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He says, he's a prophet. That wasn't what the Pharisees wanted to hear. They don't want to hear that there's another prophet wandering around. They went into denial mode. They refused to believe the man had ever been blind. They send for his parents. Is this your son who was born blind? Is this the one you say? How is it that he can see now? Well, we know he's our son. We know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. And they confront the man again. Give God the glory by telling the truth now. We know that this man is a sinner. And the blind man says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. And that's the testimony of many, many, many saints throughout the ages. I may not be able to explain it, but the one thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. Even with eyes, we can see. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Sometimes we darken our souls and we refuse to see the glory of God, the presence of God. We refuse to enjoy the peace of God, the love of God. We're blind, even though we can see. You see, this story isn't about the medicinal power of mud. It's about the healing power of the faith of Jesus Christ. It may not always, the body may not always be healed, but he'll always heal the heart. He'll always give us a heart if we invite him in. Then they asked the formerly blind man again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I've already told you, you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You want to become disciples of Jesus? Well, that really got them going, those Pharisees. You want to become disciples of Jesus. So they start hurling insults at him. They say, you are this fellow's disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We follow Moses. He has stood the test of time. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answers, well, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to godly people who do his will. Nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind, but if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done this. That's what the blind man says. And to this, the Pharisees reply, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us, you whippersnapper? I threw the whippersnapper in. So they throw him out because he was skating too near the truth that Christ can heal the body and the soul. Christ can heal the body and the soul. And so maybe the question we should be asking ourselves this Lent is, have you found healing in your soul, in your mind, in your heart? Have you found the peace that he can bring? Do you trust Jesus? Bottom line, do you trust that he's there for you? I hope you have. So here's mud in your eye. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us all these days. Amen. Let's join together in singing our next song, 592, Just As I Am. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Please rise. Let's join together in the offertory prayer at the top of page 6. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Returning to the Lord our God, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Anoint your church, O God, so that as children of light we shine brightly in a world that longs to know you. Lord, in your mercy, restore the green pastures and still waters of this earth, and lead us to be responsible stewards of all that you have created. Lord, in your mercy, shepherd all peoples, break the barriers of hatred and prejudice between those of different races, faiths, genders, age, ability, and sexual orientation, that we live peaceably together. Lord, in your mercy, bring goodness and mercy to all who suffer. We especially pray for those in our lives, those in our church who need your healing touch. Allow us to have faith in you, Lord. And allow us to know of the joy and peace and hope that you alone can bring. And allow us to trust in you, that you will do what is best for us, so that one day, whether we live or whether we die, we can say with Paul that we are yours. We pray that those in our lives that need your healing touch not want for anything. Lord, in your mercy, be present in this assembly. And open our eyes so that we look not on outward appearance, but upon one another's hearts. Lord, in your mercy. As we continue this Lenten journey, Heavenly Father, we trust you that you want what's best for us. You have brought us through a long, cold, cruel winter. You have put food on our tables. You have promised us you love us and care for us. We entrust our spouses, our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, our parents and grandparents, our friends. We entrust them to your care. Help us to be your stewards to take care of these relationships. You have prepared a table for all who believe in you. We give you thanks for all our brothers and sisters in Christ who now dwell in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Amen.
Go in peace, remember the poor. Our closing hymn is 617. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse, 617.